Reading over in the book of Hosea, if you got your Bibles, you read me in chapter 2, beginning at the 14th verse. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence in the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishai, and shalt call me no more Baali. For I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beast of the field, and with the fowls of heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth, and the earth shall hear the corn, and the wine, and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy, and I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God. So then the Lord lets us know what he's planning to do for Israel and how he's going to bring Israel in. And then he says that at the same time he's going to do something for the Gentile people. And as Paul reminds us that people who were never God's people shall be called his people. And people who had never said that God was their God shall call on the God of Isaac and Jacob and Abraham. So it's a wonderful thing to look way back in the Old Testament and see this prophecy as to what God said that he would do come Calvary. And then to turn over and see that he hath done exactly what he said, that he has actually brought salvation, and today he is letting us call him God, and he's calling us his people when we were not his people. He's not only given among men equality, as we would say, but he has given unto these that are considered to be the Gentile people the infilling of his spirit, and has blessed them with the wonderful works of his hands. So it is wonderful to know that God is helping us. In the New Testament, we find in the book of St. Luke as to what God has given us, and this is some things that I wanted to dwell on for a few minutes tonight. I started on some of this today and I didn't have a chance to finish. He says here in the 11th chapter of the book of St. Luke, in the 21st verse, when a strong man's arm keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusteth and divideth his spoil. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, and findeth none. He saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. So then we see that the Lord is speaking to him about the unclean spirit. I said something today about the spirits, how that God continually went about casting out devils. See, one of the great things of the ministry of Christ was casting out devils. And if you are a child of God and you follow after God, then one of the great traits of your life is going to be casting out devils and unclean spirits. And a lot of times you'll be responsible for casting out a spirit that you're not even aware of, to the extent that you'll be witnessing to somebody and they'll be bound with some kind of spirit as something has overclouded their mind, and you'll be talking to them and you'll be quoting the word and you'll get into conversation with them, and maybe you'll talk 30 minutes or an hour with them, and all of a sudden when you leave they have a new life, they have a new way of life. And the Bible said if you've converted to man, You've saved his soul from hell. And you've sat there and you've converted him and his way of thinking. And so then, unawares, the unclean spirit left that person. And that person has all of a sudden, through your conversation, became a sanctified vessel. That is, they've listened, and through faith, they have become a sanctified vessel. And in that they become a sanctified vessel, then they are ready for the infilling of the great, wonderful Holy Spirit. So, we find that when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, that unclean spirit hath no rest. And that unclean spirit continues to wander through dry places seeking rest and can't find rest. And then when it cannot find rest, it continually in seeking rest goes back to the temple that it came out of, or the house that it came out of. And in that it goes back to that house, it can't get in. Because that particular house has become sanctified and clean. The unclean spirit then says, I can't get in, so what I'll have to do? I'll have to go increase my strength. I'll have to go find some of those spirits that I'm with from time to time. And I'll see if we can unite together in a super strength. And then we'll go back, we'll bombard this thing until we can penetrate it. And then all of us will go in and we'll dwell in that body. So then, other spirits is wandering through dry places. Here's the testimony of this spirit. So they say, we're wandering through dry places too. And we are tormented. And if you'll share with us, we'll all bundle up together. And we'll go back and we'll oppress this individual until they just throw up their hands and give up. And when they yield up their faith and confidence in the strength of God, or the strength of life as to what God has appropriated unto them, we'll all just go in. We'll just flock right in and we'll possess that individual. And then we'll be out of these dry places. We'll be out of these tormenting places and we'll dwell in that house. And so then the Bible said, and these spirits go back to this place and they force their way in. And then the last state of that man is worse than the first. So this has happened to some of you that are listening to me. Some of you that are looking at me. This has happened to you. God came your way at one time or another. And God cast out the unclean spirit. And God gave you freedom. And God let you have the wonderful blessings that he had bestowed upon mankind. And you found peace and you found prosperity and you found blessings of life. But your gullible desire as to overcharge the heart with the serving of this life and the cares of this life, you went back to those things that you came out of. You looked back into Egypt. And because of that, now Satan, the unclean spirit, has returned. And other spirits have returned. And you've invited other spirits. And because of those spirits, now you have more unclean spirits than you had to start with. And those unclean spirits have you bound in your mind and in your spirit and in your body, and you can't get loose from them. And the Bible said, agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way, lest at any time he should deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the jailer, and then you'll not come out till you pay the uttermost farthing. And so then when the spirit comes, you are then in a prison. You're imprisoned. Your spirit has been imprisoned by the spirit that you gave place to. And so then you are tormented and you're aggravated and you're sick and you're cast down and you can't understand it. You can't understand why that you're in that condition. But it was because of your love for money and your love for fame and popularity and your love for the things of the world. Satan very distinctively stated, he said, and this world is given to me, and I am the prince of this world. Even Jesus witnessed to that. And he said, and this world is in my hands to do with it whatever I will. And said, if you'll worship me and follow me, said, I'll give it to you. But those that refuse to follow Satan, the Lord says unto them, I have eternal life. I have eternal securities. I have this great, wonderful world beyond these lying vanities. And if you'll follow me, I'll give you eternal life. And I'll give you health, and I'll give you prosperity, and I'll give you everything. And not only that, but this world that you're looking at is to the creative act of God. Someday I'll put it through the filters, I'll cleanse it, and I'll give it to you. Or at this time, if you ask anything in my name, I'll purge it, I'll purify it, if it's the right thing for you. That is, if you ask anything according to my will, then I'll give it to you. For the Bible said we know that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And we know that if He heareth us, then we have the petition that we desire of Him. He'll not deny us the petition. He said, you've not asked anything in my name up till now. He said, but now ask and let your joys be full. For whatever you ask in my name, He said, I'll give it to you. And He said, the Father wants you to ask. It's His will that you bear much fruit. And the fruit is, He said, that you ask in my name and receive these things that I have for you. So, in service to God, we find the wonderful, wonderful blessings of God. God is calling us His people. And here we are calling Him our God. Never before could the Gentiles do that. But since Calvary, now we are God's people, and He is our God. So then we're saying to all the world that God is your God, and you are God's people, if you'll call on God, and if you'll do the things that He tells you to do. The Bible said, how can you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I tell you to do? That is, how can a man be your master when you're not subject to him? How can he be your God when you don't serve him? See, how could he be your God? You may call him God, but in all reality, he doesn't know you. He said in that day, I'll say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. But they'll say, Lord, didn't we do great things in your name? And Lord, didn't you cast out devils in our street? But he says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. See, God cannot look upon iniquity, and God is not a partaker of iniquity. Therefore, if you are in iniquity, then God is not your God. It doesn't matter how much you confess God and profess God. If you're not holy and godly and pure and justly and upright in your deeds every day, then God is not your God. God says to me, you be holy in body and in spirit. If you want me to be your God, then you draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. How do I draw nigh to God? By being holy, by being godly, by being pure. That is to say, I search out the things that are pure, that's holy, that's godly, and I apply myself to these things. The Bible said, drawing nigh unto God, submitting my spirit unto Him. That is under the spirit of holiness, and the end of that is that I have fruits of holiness unto eternal life. So then as I draw nigh to God, I find out God's nature. I find out God's characteristics. I find out God's makeup and God's way in the earth. I follow God and I go after God and I walk with God. And as I walk with God day by day, I get closer to God. The song says a little closer. So I get closer to God and I draw near to God. I draw nigh to God. And all of a sudden as I draw nigh to holiness and godliness and purity and these things, I feel God drawing near to me, because when I do the things that please Him, it convinces my heart. My heart begins to believe, and then I feel the stimulation of that great revelation of God. I begin to feel the stimulation as He begins to charge my body with the vibrations and with the wonderful blessings of God. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word. We hear the word, we hear the preacher, we hear the word, we take it into our lives and into our heart. And with this comes a stimulation. Because when He purifies our heart by faith, we feel the verbal inspiration of God. It begins to touch our senses, our human senses, and our human makeup begins to vibrate with this wonderful power. For the Bible said, if the Spirit be in you that raised up Christ from the dead, He shall also quicken your mortal body by the Spirit of Christ that dwelleth within you. And we begin to feel God on the main line, as we say. We sing that song, Jesus on the main line. Tell Him what you want. And you can feel those vibrations and you can feel the verbal inspiration. You know, if you go out into the world, you can feel it. That is a vibration coming from the devil. You can go out to the racetracks and you can go out to the ball games and you can go out to the frolics of the world. You can sit and watch certain television programs that stimulates the flesh, and you'll get excited and you feel an exhilaration and you'll feel activated with something, and it'll be the power.
power of the devil. It'll be the lust of the flesh. It'll be the thrill of that human being. And all of that's going into your heart. And Satan is taking control of you by putting that into your spirit. And more of this inspiration of money and inspiration of natural things is controlling your spirit and getting possession of your spirit. You know, but the Bible said resist those things. And it says don't follow after the riches of this world. But it said flee these things, O thou man of God, and lay hold on eternal life. For many following after those things in the world have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You can go after money and you can misuse the things of God. But the Bible said many people going after those things have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So then, I desire to follow after God. I desire to deny those things and deny myself of those things and follow after righteousness and after godliness and trying to perfect holiness in my life and the fear of God. See, in this, I fill myself with the Spirit. The Bible said, tarry till you be filled with the Spirit. I fill myself with the Spirit, building up my faith in the Holy Ghost, and I keep praying to God until I can feel that vibration of the great Holy Spirit. I just say Jesus, and something just goes just like that, like current all over me. And I say, oh Lord, I love you, and something just sweeps down from heaven all through my body and through my spirit, down into my feet, my legs, my head, my hands. I feel that vibration. I go to pray for somebody, and I put my hands on them, and I feel that vibration, and I say, in the name of Jesus, and I feel that vibration. If they put forth faith, then I can feel the virtue, which is that vibration going forth from my body. Or if I call on God, I can feel that verbal inspiration as to virtue coming into my body. To be filled with the virtue of Christ, to be filled with the Spirit. And if anything have any virtue in it, if anything be pure, the Bible said to think on these things that are pure and holy and godly, that has virtue in them. So then we see these wonderful things as we feel the virtues of God, the vibrations of God coming into our being, coming into our spirit, and we get full of the Spirit. And this is life. This is what Moses got. And the Bible said being filled with that virtue, being filled with that Spirit, the Bible said that his eyesight waxed not dim, and the natural sources of his body wasn't abated. And Moses was still at 120 as a young man. And Abraham began to get close to God. He began to believe, and this virtue began to enter his body. And Sarah began to get close to God by taking the word of God and faith in the word of God. And all of a sudden, Sarah was renewed to a young woman. And Abraham was renewed to a young man. And reproduction began all over again. Why? Because the blessings of God prolongs life. And the blessings of God brings long life, not only long life, but eternal life. Somebody would say, but the thing that I'm interested in, Brother Pike, is how do I get by without dying? How can I get by without dying? The way that we get by without dying is just like Elijah did. Just like Moses, just like Enoch, just like those that appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration, of those that went away with God. See, they kept walking with God and walking with God until, as it says concerning Enoch, and he was not, for God took him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So then we keep walking with God, enjoying the wonderful blessings of God. See, we keep being filled and filled and filled with the wonderful blessings of God. And then we go out like Jesus. He tarried in prayer all night long. He would tarry in prayer. And then the next day he would go out. And then when he would go out, all of a sudden someone would run up and touch him. And immediately Jesus would say, I felt virtue go out of my body. Somebody touch me. Not just touching him as to a natural person, but touching him by faith. They said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, naturally speaking. But when they touched his garment, then to them this was a way of getting in touch with God. That is to say, when they touched that garment, they would latch onto that garment or touch that garment and say, my God, if I can just touch that garment. And when they touched it, say, my God, I'm healed. You see how I got an effect out of that thing when I touched it? My God, I'm healed. See, it was just as silent as could be. But when I touched it, you hear it holler? See, that means there's something on the inside of it. And it was the same way with Jesus. When they touched that thing, they touched that garment, and immediately the Bible said even this little woman that had the issue of blood that had went to all the physicians was none the better but rather grew worse. When she touched the hem of that garment, the Bible said she felt within her body she was healed. She was whole. And she came trembling and fell down before Jesus and confessed that she was the one that touched him. And Jesus said, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Thy faith hath made thee whole." So the beautiful part about serving God, it doesn't have to be male nor female. We find all through the Bible people like Deborah, great women, people like the woman that touched the hem of the garment, Mary, and other great people that were women that touched God and received great miraculous things in their lives and in their bodies and done great mighty things in the behalf of God and His people. And we find it with men. We find it even with little boys, even children that God raised up and set them on the throne and done great mighty things by the hands of those little ones. So then it doesn't matter. You know, man or woman, boy or girl, whatever you might be, all you got to do is just have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Somebody would say, "How do you have faith in God, Brother Pike?" Have faith in the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word is the same to 1,000 generations. And it's by His Word that He said, "Let there be," and there was. And He brought forth the sun. He brought forth the moon. He brought forth the stars. He created you and I. He made the great seas and all of the species of the seas. He made the beast. He made the trees. He made the earth. All by His Word. He just said, "Let there be." And it came to pass. And so then the Word is with you and I today. The same Word. You know, it really bothers me sometimes. I think, Lord, the challenge of the Word is here with me and with my generation. And we're so frivolous concerning this. Here, I give a man $1 million and he throws it over in the trash barrel, you know, because he doesn't know the worth of it. You give a man a diamond, he throws it out there to a swine to bubble around in the slop with it, you know, because the man doesn't know the worth of it. But then you give the same Word of God to somebody that knows the worth of it, and they don't throw it away. And the Bible said, "Cast not away thy faith, which hath great recompense of reward." They don't throw it away. You give them this Word of God, and then they latch onto it, and they put faith in it. And by faith in God, that thing comes alive and turns into spirit and turns into power and give them the desires of their heart. You know, I've used the Word down through the years many times. I still use the Word. I have to continually use the Word. It wouldn't be possible for me to stop using the Word. In the position I'm in, the place I walk in, I have to use the Word just to keep going. Because I have to have the health of God, I have to have the blessings of God, I have to have the strength of God, and I have to have the finance that God gives. And I've got a great responsibility to look after my sheep or my spiritual children and try to help the poor and try to help the needy and whatever. I've got a responsibility. I can't help but believe. I must believe. I must believe. And I use that Word all the time. I use that Word, and I challenge you to use it. A lot of times I challenge you as an individual to use that Word. Take that Word. It's the same. Somebody said, "Well, it wouldn't work for me." I'm sure that it wouldn't. Anybody with that kind of attitude, you could never expect it to work for you. But some of you that believe that it will work for you, then you take that kind of attitude and it will work for you. See, that's the difference. Everybody doesn't have faith as to faith in God, but God has dealt a measure of faith unto every man. That is, he has an opportunity to believe if he will. And he says, "Let whosoever will come." But if you're going to abide in unbelief, the Bible said, then the wrath of God's going to abide upon you. But when God challenges you and you meet that challenge and you take that Word of God and say, "Now let me look at this. The Bible says that if I ask anything in His name," and then you just rehearse that over and over in your mind. He said that if I ask anything in His name, and of course the old carnal mind and the devil will say, "There's nothing to that, you know, that ain't real. There's no need of getting fanatic now. You might as well to get away from that thing. Let's go do what we've got to do to get what we want." But nevertheless, somebody will take it and they'll go over and over and they'll say, "Wait a minute, the Bible says that if I ask in His name," and they'll say, "Now there's a real holy land. There's a real empty tomb. and there was a real Jesus, if there's a real Holy Lamb, then that means there's a real God somewhere. And this real God has said this to me. This is God's word. This is God's word. You know, the president, he puts out a proclamation. And when it comes to this proclamation that he puts out, when he puts out this proclamation, then he says to you and thus you must do. And so then you must do that because he puts out the proclamation. Isn't that right? So then God puts out a proclamation and he says for you and I to meet the challenge. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, I asked and it didn't happen. Have you ever done that, Brother Pike? I've asked many, many times, more times than I got fingers and toes, and it didn't happen. I may ask 1,000 times, it may not happen. But on the other hand, I've asked many multiplied times and it did happen. Somebody would say, well, what caused it to happen sometimes and then sometimes it doesn't happen? There is only one thing, and that's our believing. It's according to your faith. According to your faith. If you believe and somebody believes with you, Jesus said that if two touch anything as agreeing to it, then God would do it. So then it's up to us to pray. It's up to us to believe. But somebody would say, but Brother Pike, do you really believe that happens? I really believe that happens. I not only believe that happened, I've seen that happen many, many multiplied times. And God has graciously met my needs and made my cup to run over many, many times. So then God walks with us and God talks with us and God is with us. And the supernatural is in our midst. And it's up to us to believe. It's up to us to preach it. It's up to us to live it. It's up to us to practice it and see God's wonderful, miraculous hand as he does the things that man cannot do. So then we're speaking tonight of unclean spirits. Unclean spirits has many traits. One thing is an unclean spirit can be an infirm spirit. That spirit can be a spirit of infirmity. And that spirit can bind you, it can work on you, it can paralyze you, or it can cause a cancer, or cause heart condition, or any other thing. An unclean spirit can do that. So then somebody would say, well, then all you got to do is cast the devil out, the unclean spirit, and the person would be healed. No, that's not it at all. You cast out the unclean spirit and the unclean spirit's gone and the person may not be healed. Someone would say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean, you can cast the devil out, but when there is something wrong with the body, something wrong physically, it doesn't take just casting out an unclean spirit. It takes a miracle to restore and to heal that thing or to heal that individual. So then you can cast out unclean spirits. And sometimes when the unclean spirit is gone, immediately a miracle will follow. Or sometimes you cast out an unclean spirit and in many days following, this person will begin to mend and mend according to their believing. And then all of a sudden the thing that the infirm spirit had caused will begin to vanish away. So then there's a lot of things that you have to understand about divine deliverance. A lot of things that you have to understand as to the gifts of the Spirit, for there is healing, there's miracles, there's the casting out of unclean spirits, there's the discerning of spirits, there's those gifts as to the gift of wisdom and the gift of knowledge, the gift of prophecy and the gift of faith and all these wonderful gifts, and they're in the church. They're in the church. Somebody would say, well, I don't ever see them. Well, they're still in the church. It doesn't matter if you never see them. They're still in the church. And it doesn't matter if the church never utilizes this ability in Christ to use these things. They are still in the church. So then it may be that a gift is in your life. It may be that there is a special blessing in your life. There might be something special in your life that God wants to do, that he'd like to do. God would like to do it in my life. God would like to do it in your life. And we don't have to wait forever for God to do it. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I'm working on this thing so that God will do this for me. I want faith in God. I want to cast out unclean spirits. I want to be free of the devil and I want to be blessed of God and I want this prosperity and all these kind of things. I want this, somebody would say. So they say, and I'm working on this. And I said, well, how long have you been working on it? Well, I've been working on it about 5 years. I said, well, have you done any good? Well, I'm not where I think I ought to be. Another 5 years, you say, well, how are you doing? I said, well, I'm working on this thing. And another 5 years, you say, well, how are you doing? I said, well, I'm working on this thing. See, don't you know that's the power of the devil? God worked on it once and for all, and that was at Calvary. And he done away with your sins, and he done away with your uncleanness, and he done away with your wrongs. He brought you to a place to where all you've got to do is apply yourself. Spend some time with God. Spend some time in solitude, studying the Bible and praying and seeking God and fasting and asking God to strengthen you. Spend a little time with God and then go forth and do something for Christ as to a testimony of whatever it might be. You never know what it's going to be. See, the Bible said God is able to do abundantly and above all that I can ask or think. It's not a matter of what I ask God to do or what I try to believe God to do. The faith of Christ within me, the Bible said that he can do abundantly above all that I'm able to even think. See, that I can even think. That is to say, it doesn't matter what I could think as to the greatest thing that God could do, he can do abundantly and above all of that. So then we find this word. He sent his word. How did he cast out the unclean spirits? The Bible said when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, it wandereth through dry places seeking rest, and it findeth not any. Then it returns to the same place that it came from. How did he cast out the unclean spirit? The Bible said he sent his word, and by his word he cast out the unclean spirit. How did he heal the people? He sent his word, and by his word he healed the people. Somebody would say, what do you mean by the word he healed the people, and by the word he cast out the unclean spirits? What are you talking about, Brother Pye? I'm saying that God is the word. In the beginning, God was the word. Today, God is still the word. In the Old Testament, the Bible said, and the word of the Lord came unto the prophets. So then it is the word, the same to 1,000 generations. It is the word of God that comes. And then somebody would say, you mean we just hear you preach the word and we're healed? No, it doesn't mean that at all. But it does mean that you hear me preach the word. And then when you believe the word, you are healed. When you hear me preach the word, if you believe the word, then you are healed. Because your faith is what turns that word into spirit and into power. It's in the spirit and it's in the power. Like Paul was preaching on one occasion, the Bible said he perceived. He looked over at a man and he perceived that that man had faith to be healed. And he spoke to him in the name of the Lord, and just like that, that man was healed. See, the word of God to that man, the man believed it and he was healed. And when Peter went into the temple and he saw this man sitting there, he had been a paralytic from his mother's womb. He'd been crippled. And there when Peter went in, the man stuck out his hand expecting an offering. And Peter said, gold and silver have I none, but such as I do have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And when the man leaped up and was healed immediately, then Peter said, don't look on us as though we have done this. He said, but the God of heaven has done this. And he said, and this man's faith, or this faith, hath given him the soundness that you now see that he hath. So then when the word is preached and the word is believed, the things will take place. Whether it's a miracle or whatever it might be, when the word is preached, when the word is believed, the miracle will take place. Now I know a lot of people, they will say, well, Brother Pike, it's just not God's will to heal this person or the other person. But down through the years, preaching the word, trying to live according to the word, to share this wonderful word of life, I've learned in my lifetime, all down through the years, that it is God's will to heal people. It is God's will to heal people. And of course, we get up and preach that it's God's will to heal people. But the thing is, it's far beyond that. God has already healed people. And someone would say, well, what people? Who hath God healed? Or who is it God's will to heal? It is God's will to heal every living human being on the face of the earth. When Jesus died, he died to take away the sins of the world, all of the world. And it is God's will to save every living human being on the earth. And I say so often, every living human being on the earth is not saved. But nevertheless, it's God's will to save them. He said, it's not my will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance and have everlasting life. And he said, it's not my will that even the wicked should perish, but even they should repent of their sins. For I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So then, It is God's will to save everyone. And likewise, it is God's will to heal everyone. For the same God of Calvary that saved, the same God of Calvary healed, and the same God of Calvary that gave eternal life, the same God of Calvary gave your perfect soundness of body. Someone would say, well, why am I like this, Brother Pye? Why am I sick? Why do I have problems? Why am I oppressed all the day long? Why can't I get delivered? One thing, your unbelief. Somebody would say, well, I just feel like it isn't God's will to heal me, and I'm doing this thing for a certain thing. It is true that you can suffer for Christ and whatever. You can do it. But a lot of times you can suffer ignorantly, thinking that is the glory for God or the glory to God when it really isn't. And yet you're giving glory to God to the extent that you're willing to do it. But that isn't the plan of God. Because God would rather have you healthy. He'd rather have you whole. He'd rather see you go out here and do something for God and bring deliverance to the people and tell them of the wonderful words of life. See, so God doesn't want you sick, and God doesn't want you in sin. God doesn't want you oppressed. God doesn't want you demon-possessed. He doesn't want you that way. So then somebody would say, well, if God doesn't want me that way, why doesn't God do something for me? Why doesn't God do something about it? See, this is the real, real tight place right here. Why doesn't God? That's a good question. Why don't you do something, God? Why don't you just come back down here into earth and heal everybody? Why don't you just come down here and save everybody? It doesn't matter if they spit in your face. It doesn't matter if they curse you. It doesn't matter if they rip a little baby's guts out or they ravish a young girl. It doesn't matter if they guzzle beer down in whiskey. It doesn't matter if they go around doing the evil, devilish, mean things that they do. Just come down in your love, Lord, and take them to heaven. Let's give the Lord a hand. I think that helps to open our eyes a little bit right there. The same way with affliction. Why doesn't God heal? A lot of times it's because of the sinful, devilish life of people. It's because of their evils. That's why God doesn't heal. Because people expect to get healed, and they expect to do the things of the world. They expect to go back out in the world, and consequently some of them have gotten healed and went back out in the world. And this is the thing I was speaking to you at the beginning here. See, God delivers you from an unclean spirit, and then you go back and you get seven of the spirits more devilish than the one that was in there to begin with. And then the last state of that man is worse than the first. You get your blessings, you get your life, and you go give your life to the devil, and you expect God to take you into heaven. You're dirty, you're filthy, you're scummy, and you're not going to live right. You're not going to confess your sins. You're not going to stay away from the evil things of the world. You're going right on with those things. And you're going on with your little doctrine, your indoctrination, where somebody has told you, you know, it's all right for you to participate in this and participate in that. And folks, that's what I was talking about this morning. I don't want to be with the crowd that's always trying to figure that they can get by with this, or it's all right to do this, or it isn't going to be so bad, or this really isn't wrong. And the preacher doesn't understand too well anyway. He doesn't know that I've got faith in God and all these things is all right. If I want to watch my little bit of non-virtuous things on TV, and read my little devilish things out of the magazines over here and chew a little bit of cud and curse and backbite and smoke and cheat and swindle and go to the frolics of the world. Well, you know, God is good, somebody says, and God loves us. Let me tell you something. God is good. And why doesn't God come down and heal everybody? Folks, when the Lord let his body be torn to bits, suffering like no man had ever suffered, his countenance marred more than any man, he healed every living human being. Every living human being. He gave healing at Calvary to every living human being. And he turned and he said, there's nothing required of you anymore except to believe. But he did say to the woman, now that I've delivered you, go thy way and sin no more. Now you've been in sin and you've done all of these things. And you've been devilish and you know that you've been wrong. But I do see a spirit of repentance. And the Bible said, he that confesseth his sins and forsaketh his sins shall prosper. Not to confess his sins as with the papacy of Rome or with this ritualistic of coming, making a confession, going back into the world and being just as devilish as ever. But he said, confess thy sins and then forsake thy sins. And Jesus said to the woman, go thy way and sin no more. Lest the worse of thing come upon you. Lest one of those spirits that's worse coming to overtake you. So then this is the thing. Why doesn't God heal everybody? Why doesn't God heal me if he wants me healed? He did heal you. He did give it to you just like he did everyone else. He hasn't shirked his duty toward you. He didn't cut you short in anything. He gave you the wonderful healing of God and salvation of God to the extent that he wrung the blood out of his veins and let him plow his back like a field and let them place the thorns upon his head, pierce his side, pierce these hands and feet, saying, I give myself to you, let whosoever will come and partake of the waters of life freely. So he did do it. Somebody said, if he loves me, why doesn't he heal me? Why doesn't he let me suffer? You hypocrite. I said, you hypocrite. Let's give him a hand. If you'd stop accusing him, stop finding fault with him, if you'd stop saying things against him and back up and get away from that and realize what a hypocrite you are and the things that you're doing in hypocrisy and the things that you're doing to please him and spend a little more time trying to conform to his way of life and understand his way of life and draw nigh to him, then that power of God would come to you, because if you draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you. But as long as there's a middle wall of partition between you and him, as long as those things are outstanding as to your iniquities, then you're not going to get anything from God. Because the Bible said, thine iniquities have separated between thee and thy God and kept thee back from good things. God rent the veil. He took your iniquities out of the way. But the only thing you're going to have to walk upright to assure this heart, to bring confidence to this heart that you're doing the things that please God. And then that confidence is going to take hold on God, and you're going to say, God, I'm doing my best. I'm stumbling. I'm staggering, Heavenly Father. But you died to take away my sins. All I'm doing is letting you know that I appreciate it and I'm trying to do the best I know how to do. And you're not playing around. You really mean that thing and you're really trying to do right. So then you look up and the Lord says, child of God, that's all right. I hear you. Everything's all right. Don't condemn yourself in that thing that you allow us to. You're stumbling and staggering. You're doing your best. I see that in your heart and mind that you're doing your best. You're not running over here drinking on the side, cursing on the side, frolicking on the side, and coming to me talking about doing your best. But you're really doing your best to walk upright, to be holy, and to be godly. And you don't have to worry, because I died for your sins. I died to take away your iniquities. I am the one that suffered and was bruised for your healing. I was chastised that you might have peace. Everything's all right. We sang the song, everything's going to be all right. So everything's all right, he'll say, child of God. You don't have to worry. And folks, this is the way it is. See, God has done it. He's done it for your healing. He's done it for your salvation. And God has done it for all the world. Go into all the world, he said. Tell the glad tidings of great joy. And tell all these people throughout the world what I've done for them. Go into all the world. Tell every creature. Because it's for every creature. And that without respect to person. And what I say to one, I say to all. So then Jesus said, I would that thou be healed. I will that thou be well. But the thing is, we've got to remember, it is him. It is him that does it. It is the word. If I speak the word and this word comes out to your listening ear and all of a sudden there's faith in the heart and that faith lifts up, then that word immediately turns into power and into spirit. See, that word is power. That word is created. That word is the same. That word is without alteration. It is to this generation. And whatever this generation desires, they can have it. That means that we have power over all the powers of the enemy, which is the Holy Spirit within us. And that is the Spirit of Christ. And we have power over death. Death is the enemy of God. And death came by man and not by God. We have power over death. So that we can just keep on believing and loving the Lord till after a while we'll look up and something will appear in the heavens as to the sign of the Son of Man, and we'll hear that great trump of God saying, the dead in Christ shall rise. Because we just keep on believing till we believe ourselves, just like Enoch, right on into that wonderful way of God and be caught away. As it was with the whirlwind. As it was with Elijah. And Elijah just kept on walking and kept on walking, because God said to him, Go down there and cross the Jordan and just keep on walking, Elijah. Just keep on walking now. Keep on believing. Keep on walking. And here he just kept on walking. And Elisha kept watching him and kept watching him. And when the sons of the prophets would say something, he said, "Hold your peace. I know. And he just keep on walking. And after a while, all of a sudden down came that chariot of fire. And Elijah looked over that chariot of fire and he just stepped on board. And the prancing horses were standing there. And Elisha saw it and he said, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And away went Elijah. And Elijah had said, "Elisha, if you see me when I go, you're going to get a double portion of what God has given me." Folks, that's real. That's here today. There's no yesterday. Today and tomorrow with God, that's real. But it's up to you to believe it. It's up to me to believe it. And then when we do, that word of spirit and life comes in our heart, drives out the unclean spirits. He sent his word and he drove out the unclean spirits, cast out the unclean spirits by his word, and he sent his word and healed them. He sent his word and healed them. What is the worth of the word? What is the value of the word? It is exactly to us as to whatever we can believe. Someone would say, "Well, I just don't have any faith." No, that's not right. I say again, if you don't have any faith, how could you be a Christian? It takes faith to be a Christian. You have to have faith to be a Christian. So then if you have faith to be a Christian, you have faith to be healed. Because the same faith that saves, the same faith that heals. The thing is, as to the value of your faith, the measure of your faith, or the strength of your faith. What is the strength of your faith? That is the thing. What is the strength of your faith? And Abraham was strong in faith. How was it recognized as to the strength of Abraham's faith? The Bible said he went about continually giving glory to God. That is, he just went about rejoicing, saying, "Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah." And somebody would say, "Well, what's the hallelujah about Abraham?" "Hallelujah, the Lord told me something and I just can't hardly wait. It's going to be wonderful. You need to be there when it happens. Because oh my God, oh my God, oh my God." That was his attitude. That was strong in faith. See, and when we take that outlook, like the song said, "I was there when it happened. I guess I ought to know." And we take that outlook to be strong in faith, to believe in God, to rely on God. Calling those things that are not as though they are. That's what God wants us to do. Let's call those things that are not as though they are. And then God will do wonderful things for us. You love the Lord? So then, we will enter His gates with thanksgiving. Sister Dale can come back up here. We'll sing a little chorus and worship the Lord for a few minutes. On Sunday, we come to be filled and refilled. We come for the blessings of God. We come to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Because it is God, eternal God, that is with us. The same yesterday, today, and forever. It is God in our presence. It is God walking with us and God helping us. All right, let's stand together and let's sing this little chorus, can we? We will enter these gates with thanksgiving in our heart. We will enter into these courts with praise. We will say, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Gonna rejoice for you." Sing it with me now. I'm doing a run through the gate with thanksgiving in the heart. Going to enter into the court with praise. We're going to say, "This is the day the Lord has made. Gonna rejoice, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. I'm gonna rejoice
Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice. Jesus, don't you just love the Lord? I'll tell you what, it's so wonderful to feel the presence of God. God is so wonderful. It's so good to have you here tonight to worship the Lord. Wouldn't you like to go into all the world and preach this wonderful gospel to every creature, that God may bring salvation and healing and deliverance and all the wonderful things of God? Aren't you glad to be here tonight? I'll be glad to be here.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're glad to have you. Glad to see you. The patient back in the wheelchair, I believe they said it was Brother Nix. Is that right? Or we're glad to have them here with us. Let's sing that again now. Come on, let's sing together. Going to enter into the gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. Enter into the courts with praise. We're gonna say this is the day the Lord made. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice. Jesus made me glad. Sing it with me now. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice. Jesus. Sing it again now. Going to enter into the gate with thanksgiving in my heart. Going to enter into the court with praise. This is the day the Lord has made. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Sing it now. Jesus has made me glad. Jesus made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice. Can you sing it again with me? Are you really happy tonight? Enter in gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Enter into his court with praise. Say, this is the day the Lord has made. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. For my Lord made me glad. My Lord made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. My Lord made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice. Sing it one more time with me like you really mean it. Let us enter into the gates with thanksgiving in our heart. Let us enter into the court with praise. Let us say this is the day the Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice. Jesus, one more time together. We're going to enter into his gate with thanksgiving in thy heart. We're going to enter into his courts with praise. Gonna say this is the day the Lord has made. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made us glad. Sing it now. Jesus made us glad. Jesus made us glad. And I'm gonna rejoice. Jesus made us glad. Jesus made us glad. Jesus made us glad. I'm gonna rejoice. Jesus made us glad. Let's give him a hand. How many of you are glad in your heart tonight? Do you feel the joy of the Lord? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Do you feel the joy of the Lord tonight? Praise God. Let's sing and worship the Lord for a few minutes, can we? Give me a key, Sister Dale. Sister Dale, you help me sing. All right. Give me another key. Give me another key. You know, I heard somebody say today, after praying for them all these many years, they said today, he said, I'm going to tell you something, but don't tell nobody. I said, well, I'll try not to. And they said, I made up my mind that I'm going to give my heart to God and serve God from now on. So I've tried everything and it just don't work. And I said, well, there you are. I prayed 20 years for this and then you tell me I can't tell nobody. So I ain't going to tell nobody. You love the Lord? I didn't tell you who it was. Let's give the Lord another hand. I love to see people stimulated in God, The Bible said the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And when you come and you really put your heart into worshiping God, folks, God blesses and God breaks the yoke. And God does things, All right, let's sing this song, Sister Dale.
Gone, the stone is rolled back, gone. And the tomb, it's empty, gone. Who sat at my Father's side? Oh, he's gone. All the death triumph is gone. Sin is defeated, gone. And he lives forevermore. For he's gone. And the stone is rolled back, gone. For the tomb, it's simply gone. To sit at my Father's side.
Sing it like this. Gone, I saw the stone, it's rolled back, gone. I saw the tomb, it's empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. For he's gone, oh, the death triumph is gone. Sin is defeated, gone. And he lives forever. You love the Lord?
When I stand upon the mountain, looking over into the city, hills be faith that I can make it after all.
Sing this song with me, the altars are open. After all this life, it's over, and my burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain.
Sing it one more time.
All
after all,
this life is over, upon the mountain. That I can make it after all. Sing it again now. For after all this life, it's over. When my burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain. Can you sing it again? The altars are open if you'd like to come. When I stand upon the mountain, looking over into the city, gives me faith that I can make it after all. Sing it with me now. After all this life, it's over. When my burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain, also gives me faith that I can make it after all. Across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. Sing that with me. Across the bridge, there's no more pain, for the sun gonna shine on the and I'll never be unhappy again. Across the bridge, sing that with me. Across the bridge, there's no more pain, for the sun's gonna shine across the river, and we'll never be unhappy again. In this life we're living in, I have lived a life of sin. I've done forbidden things I shouldn't do. I met my Savior on the way. I asked him for a place to stay, where there's real happiness and love that's true. He said across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. He said across the bridge, there's no more pain, 'cause the sun's gonna shine. He said, across the bridge,
there's no sorrow.
Across the bridge, there's no more pain. For the sun's gonna shine.
The Lord is so good. He is so wonderful. Brother Nix came over. I believe Betty says here he came over while I was gone, Betty. Anyway, that's him that's here tonight. I can't tell too much about the people in the back there because of the blurry light. Brother Nix, how do you remember Brother Nix? He came in and ministered for us. I heard that he'd been sick. I wondered just exactly where he lived. I had him on my mind and praying for him. And I can't tell back there. It's the blurry, but when I said, is this Brother Nix, that he kind of waved his hand a little bit. And I'd like for him to bring him up here if they would, because we'd like to kind of gather around and pray for him. How many would like to pray for him tonight?
Amen.
He went pretty steady. He kept going pretty steady all the time he was going and trying to do something for the Lord. And he's worthy of our prayers tonight and our faith. Putting our faith and our strength with him tonight to believe for him that God might bless him. God is good. Isn't God good? He is so wonderfully good. Let's sing this little chorus while they're coming. Can we sing this, sister? Sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are brighter than the morning star. You are much fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. Precious, more precious than gold. Sing it with me now. Sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are brighter than the morning star. You are much fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. You're more precious than gold. My Jesus, can you lift your hands up? Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are brighter than the dawn. You are much fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. You're more precious than gold. Sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. How beautiful to sing these songs over and over. Sing the wonderful songs that thrill our heart and that causes us to believe the more. We should always believe. Jesus said, always pray. Men should always pray
and not faint. Pray when you're standing. Pray when you're sitting. Pray when you're kneeling down at home. Pray. Always pray and never faint. And always believe in God. Have faith in God. And always praise Him. Always love Him. Always giving Him glory. Being strong in faith like Abraham was, fully persuaded that what God had promised, He was able also to perform. How wonderful. How wonderful it is to serve a living God. I don't know how long Brother Nix has been sick, but I heard quite a long while ago about him being sick. And the last time I remember being with him, he might have come to visit with us after this particular time. I'm not sure. Maybe he did. But I think about the last time I remember being with him, I'd gone over to the radio station and I was ministering for you at the radio station. Remember Brother Nix? And that was about, I guess, maybe the last time until, unless he came down here after that, he might have. But I hadn't heard from him in quite a long while, and I was wondering just exactly what was going on, or sick or whatever. But how are you willing to believe tonight and put your faith together with his, with mine? You know, if a man wants to tell about the love of God and wants to go preach the gospel, there isn't any reason why he shouldn't be allowed to. How do you agree to that? There isn't any reason why God would not want him to. Is there any reason at all why God would not want a man to tell this wonderful, wonderful message? I don't believe there is. To go into all the world and preach this gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You know, one of the things that is kind of amazing to me is that people so emphatically lift up the name of Jesus for healing. Even healing evangelists and different ones around the world, they do this. And they'll magnify the name of Jesus, and they'll talk about the name of Jesus, and they'll write about the name of Jesus, and over quote the scriptures as pertaining to the name of Jesus. And then when they get down to baptize people in water, though the Bible says, all that you do, whether in word or in deed, do in the name of Jesus. But when they get down to that one deed and get down to that one thing, they say, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And that's true. That is true. For He is the Father, there is a Son, and there is a Holy Ghost. But it said that we were to do all things, whether in word or in deed, in the name of Jesus. And that there was remission of sin in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. Salvation and peace in the name of Jesus. I marvel at them because they strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Let's give the Lord a hand. Blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. You know what it is? The devil wants that healing, and the devil wants those blessings of prosperity, and he knows the blood is on the seat of atonement, and he knows the rain is on the just and the unjust, but he knows salvation is in the name. And when you are baptized for the remission of sin, you call on the Lord to a true act of the remission of sin, then the devil goes out. And he can't live there any longer. Jesus said they'll come in my name. But he said there'll still be lying prophets. They'll come in his name. See, and the devil knows when Satan is gone out or the unclean spirit is gone out. That is when he is cast out. He can't have any control over that body. He knows when he accepts real salvation, he's got to come to the spirit of holiness. And he can't do that because he can't frolic and do the things of the world. He'd rather be healed as to the body he's living in. He'd rather have the blessings of God. He wants the rain that comes on the tare, because the tare, in spite of its wretched nature, it still has to have the water. So then it is a true fact that they don't want to call the name as the salvation. They don't want to work with the name as the salvation. When it comes to remitting the sins and baptism for the remission of sin, they want to do that. All right. We're going to see if we can get a mic here, and we're going to pray for Brother Nick. You pray with us. Let's all pray together. I'll come out here. Somebody say hallelujah. I don't even know what's wrong with him. How you doing, brother?
A war injury flared up on me. A war injury. It happened back in 51.
He was in service.
Mm-hmm.
It's a war injury.
And it is all of a sudden caught up with you too. Well, said it was a war injury, and things begin to have effect on him. Do you love Brother Nick? Some of you love Brother Nick. He came down here. He brought one of the most beautiful sermons one time. I've never forgotten it. And he'd come and bring me grapes and all kind of things. And as I said, I didn't know just exactly what happened to him. But I do believe that God loves him, and I do believe God will heal him, and I do believe God will give him strength. And I do believe God will raise him up. How do you believe that? Sure, he wants him up. He wants him to be healthy and well, just like he does you and me. And it's for sure that he's got a lot of things to be done. I don't think he finished all you need to do. He says he hasn't finished all he needs to do. So then we're going to pray that God will do something for him. And while we're praying, let's lift your hands up together. Can you do that? Let's believe with all sincerity and believe that God will help him, and God will give him his strength back, and God will bring his strength back into these. All right, he said he's got to get up and use that tent that I give him. All right, praise God. Let's just pray together. You're going to believe with us, brothers, we pray. Father, Lord of heaven, we're thankful for our brother Nix, and thankful for the wonderful Spirit of God which is in the midst of us and which is in this man's heart. Great, mighty God of heaven, healer, deliverer, mighty Savior. Father, heal brother Nix tonight and make him well, as I feel the quickening of the Holy Ghost tonight. And let the power of God go into this body. Whatever the war injury is, move it, God. Lord, repair this body and make it whole. In the name of the Son of God, heal him tonight. God, for thou art a healer, thou art a savior, and thou art a deliverer. And God, we pray this prayer tonight in faith, believing that you'll completely heal this body. Father, that we'll get a good testimony. Lord, you said the elders received a good testimony by faith. And Father, we're looking for a good testimony. As to strength, let strength go into this body now. The virtues of God to forgive sins and to heal in the name of Jesus and to make well in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing that little chorus that Brother Taylor's singing. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe, all things are possible. Only believe.
Only believe. Hallelujah.
Really believe.
Yes, I do.
Praise God, I believe you really do.
Yeah. I tell you, I felt the prayers come from little Bethlehem while I laid in the hospital.
We have been praying for you.
I was paralyzed from in here down, all the way down. 95% of my body was paralyzed. And I begin to mend. I've come a long ways. I've got over 50% of my use of my body back.
Isn't that wonderful?
And I'm going to stand and preach the gospel again.
I believe you will.
I've done already been preaching from this wheelchair.
Everybody that believes God's a 50% healer, give him a hand. Everybody that believes God is 100% healer, say hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I appreciate the blessings of God, and I appreciate faith in God. We've been praying for our brother, and God is healing him. And I believe that God has healed him. Who do you believe? Praise God. Somebody say hallelujah. Kick your heels up and show he's healed you. Praise God. Do something. Let him see it. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I appreciate sister coming from Missouri. She's a courageous woman.
I'm overweight, Brother George. I need to strengthen my body. I'll be 80 in April.
Praise God. Let's pray for strength. He said he'd give you strength as your day.
Yes.
For your life today.
Yes.
You got to have some strength today.
I'm alive in God.
How do you believe that God gives her 50% strength every day she lives? How do you believe God gives total strength every day that we live? That's the way to do it. Praise God. Praise God. See, we have to praise God for our healing, accept our healing, and go on and do what's necessary for our healing. Somebody say hallelujah. That's real, folks. That's real. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for the strength for Sister Mariana. May she have her strength. Dear God, energize these bones and this body and these nerves. God, this entire body. Father, to heal. In the name of Jesus Christ, and make her strong for thy glory. Somebody say, I love you, Jesus. Let's sing this together. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible, 'cause I believe. Do you really believe? Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive. All things are possible. Lord, I receive, oh Lord, I believe. Oh Lord, I believe. All things possible. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, are possible. Lord, I believe. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. All things are possible. Jesus is here. For Jesus is here. Jesus is here. And all things are
possible. Jesus is here.
We're going to sing this little chorus together. We're getting ready to close. Appreciate you coming to be with us. Appreciate your prayers. Pray for us that wherever we go, that we'll take the glad tidings of great joy. And that when we go into Jordan, that the Lord will take care of us in the war zone. Help us to strengthen the faith of them, wherever they might be, who are believers in God. And take peace. The Bible teaches that we are the children of peace. And we have the Prince of Peace with us. We sing this song, I'll Go With Him Through the Garden. Can you sing it with me?
And I'll go with my Lord through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden.
Can you sing that with me?
Wherever he leads me, I will follow. Wherever he leads me, I will follow.
Sing that with me now.
Wherever he leads me, I will follow. Of his grace and glory.
How many know that sickness is of the devil? How many know that? Sickness is not of God. Did you know there was never a sickness in the garden? Until the devil came along and Eve listened to the devil. There was never a sickness. And sickness is of the devil. And he'll do anything to afflict you, to hurt you. Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, you mean when I sin, the devil afflicts me? Yes, sometimes he does.
And I'll go with him.
But it's not always that way. He just don't like preachers, and he don't like Christians. And he don't like anybody that's doing anything for God. And as it was said to Jesus when he healed the woman, said, then who has sinned? Her or her parents? Said, neither. Said, but this is for the glory of God. This is for the glory of God. And someone would say, well, let us suffer on that God may be glorified. But Jesus wasn't saying this is for the glory of God because that woman was suffering. He was saying this is for the glory of God because I'm going to break the devil off of her and she's going to be healed and people will glorify God. Let's give God glory. Why does these things happen? Why does these things happen to us? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivereth him out of them all. Now I know the word afflictions in general means that we go through problems and the devil tries to beat on us. Do all kind of things, but in these we're more than conquerors through Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. And even as he afflicted Job's body, the devil afflicted Job's body. He was afflicted. But the glory of the affliction was that Job, by faith, after a number of days, believed God and overcame it and stood victoriously in the face of the devil with his faith in God. We're going to do the same thing. You're going to do the same thing. That's what we're heading out to do. That's what we're going to do. God has given Brother Nick's power over all the powers of the enemy. It doesn't matter
what the devil does. It doesn't matter if it's a war injury. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what your problem is. God has given you the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is power over all the devilish powers of evil. And as long as you trust in Him and believe in Him, the devil can't stay there. You draw nigh to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. And God will work a miracle in your body. And the Bible said to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Jesus said they would. And I believe that. Don't you believe that? Him through the garden, at your afflictions I'll go with him. I'll hold on to him during the time of my afflictions, during the time of my problems, my sorrows, my heartaches. I'll hold on, because the garden is going to be forever. After a while it's going to be over. Faith in God will bring deliverance. Always faith in God will bring deliverance. And he'll go with me, all the way. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Of course, we're going to dismiss in just a few minutes. I will praise him. I will praise him. Now, if you have to go, I can understand. Sometimes at altar call, people have to go a little early, and some wants to stay a little longer. But if you're here, then let's praise him.
Oh, ye people, for his blood has washed away.
All right, let's sing this for chorus, sister. Come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Heavy load will lighten and your days will brighten if you come a little closer to the Lord. Can you sing that with me? Come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load and your days will brighten if you come a little closer to the Lord. And I remember, brother, when I was like you, traveling down a road of sin. Head hanging low, there was trouble in my soul, looking for the day it would end. But an old-time preacher came calling one day from the good book, with a few words. Now I can say nothing in my way. Came a little closer to the Lord. So come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten and your days will brighten as you come a little. Sing it again now. We're gonna close. So come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten and your days will brighten. You come a little closer. So I came a little closer, just a little closer, and I came a little closer to the Lord. So my heavy load did lighten and my days did brighten when I came a little. Sing with me now.
So come a little closer, just a little closer. Come a little closer to the Lord. For your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little.
One more time.
So come a little closer, just a little closer. Oh, come a little closer to the Lord. And your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten. Come a little closer to the Lord.
One more time.
So come a little closer, just a little closer. Oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten. Come a little closer to the Lord.
Let's give him one more hand. Come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten and your days will brighten if you come a little closer to the Lord. I love to walk close to the Lord. I love to walk in the Spirit. And I love to feel the wonderful presence of God. I love to pray. I love to pray. How have you loved to pray? I love to pray. You know, we sing that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Sweet Hour of Prayer. And I love to pray because when I pray, I feel close to the Lord. I love to pray. I love to talk to the Lord. I love to get closer and closer to the Lord and build my faith more and more and strengthen my faith in God. That way, every wind of doctrine that comes along doesn't disturb your faith. You just keep on believing, keep on believing. And you keep on walking, keep on walking, walking in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The brother used to sing, the one that came in from Jamaica, he said, when you see me coming, I got him on my mind. I got him on my mind. So when you see Brother Pike coming, be sure of one thing, I got him on my mind. I got him on my mind. I keep him on my mind. I love to keep him on my mind. It brings peace. The Bible said, he that keepeth his mind stayed upon Christ Jesus shall have perfect peace. And I love to keep him on my mind. So when you see me coming, I've got him on my mind. We're going to close out with this song, Sister Dale. Give me another key. Everything's going to be, all right. Everything's going to be all right. Since Jesus came, save my soul. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's gonna be all right since Jesus came and saved my soul. Everything's gonna be all right. So let us praise Him, praise Him, praise Him in the morning, praise Him at the noon. Him. Praise Him when the sun goes down. So let us love Him, love Him, love Him in the morning, love Him at the noontime. I want to love Him, going to love Him, love Him when down. And sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven has come down. Heaven's come down. Sometimes I feel heaven's come down. Heaven has come down on me. So let us love Him, love Him, love Him in the morning, love Him at the noontime, love Him, or love Him when the sun goes down. I tell this quite often as being down near the Mexican border.
New Old Mexico, and they called for me to go pray for somebody that was a real elderly woman. She was dying. She was laying there on the bed, all shriveled up, a little old bitty thing, And I thought, well, I can see she's dying, but at least I'll go in and I'll say some cheerful words to her. I'll cheer her up. And I went in and I began to talk with her. And I said a few words to her. And as I said a few words to her, she looked up at me, kind of grinning like, and she said, "Praise Him. Praise Him." And it just went all through me. And she said, "Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at the noontime." And she said, "Praise Him when the sun's going down." Oh, that tore me all to pieces, you know. Jesus took my heart all to pieces, and He put it back together again. That just tore me all to pieces. Let's sing that again. Let us praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at the noontime. Goes down. Sing it again. I'm gonna praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in the morning and praise Him at the noontime. Praise Him. I wanna praise Him. Praise Him when the sun's going down. Just one more time. I'm gonna praise Him. Praise Him. But ask Brother Gary Joyner to come up and dismiss us. Praise. Wanna praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Can you sing it one more time while we praise Him? Give Him a wave offering. Let us praise Him. Praise Him, praise Him in the morning, praise Him at the noontime. Praise. I want to praise Him,